हरि ओम सहनावतु सहनोभुनक्तु सहवीर्यंकरवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव सरि गौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे.
Okay, page 17. Srila Jiva Goswami. In the phrase sad gunadi pradatvam, the word adi, other things, has been added to indicate the devotee's ability to control the suras, and by extension, all other beings, since that is what is stated in Bhagavatam verse. Sadgunadi paratvam, power of bestowing good qualities, etc., means that bhakti puts at the command of the devotee all good qualities, the Lord and others as well. Sura refers to the Supreme Lord and others. That is first the Lord and then his attendants, the devatas and rishis. Samasate means they remain under control. Footnote 23. If bhakti gave only the qualities of the devas, that would not be remarkable. Even devata worshippers can obtain those qualities, which will be predominantly materially sattva guna. Thus, sura means the Lord and others. Right? So the qualities of the demigods means, sura means Krishna as the qualities of the demigods. Does that make sense? Not others as not the demigods themselves, because that can be gained also by the demigod worshippers. So what's the specialness of bhakti? So, and that one can bestow those to others, and it's also you're attractive that you control others. So you see, the pure devotee controls Krishna because Krishna is attracted by their pure devotion. That no other process can do. Srila Vishnu Chakrabarti Thakur. The devotee brings under his control the suras along with excellent qualities of the senses, gunahi, and not with any faults in the senses. Thus, the meaning is, quote, the devatas in charge of the senses, sura, remain under the control of the devotee, tatra, along with the excellent qualities of the senses under the deva's control. Where does he end this? The non-devotee who pursues material objects, asati, because of desire, manoratena, has no faultless qualities in his senses. What is the quotation end? Do you know? No, okay. So here he's bringing out another aspect, is that he controls those qualities that they have. The senses are under the control of the demigods. So, yes.
This is the Bhagavatam verse, manoratena satidavato bhai, the one who automatically develops all the good qualities.
A
non-devotee, even though he has good qualities,
it just goes away. Okay, so it's the whole thing. So you just see that put in there. So, the demigods, they're in control of the senses, means they operate mechanically the senses. So the devotees, then they remain that. That the demigods that are in control, they remain under the control of the devotee, because the devotee controls his senses. So he's not controlled by the demigods. He always engages his senses in the Lord's service. So he's not controlled by the mode. So in this way, he controls the demigods. Right? Because then the senses are engaged in the Lord's service, so it becomes very nice. Right? So it's not about control. We shouldn't get too excited here that, oh, control, you know, like that, yeah.
Right?
Yes.
Can we say that that happens because the demigods kind of don't have any leverage over the devotees?
Yes, they don't. That way is control. Because the control can just mean that you have influence. Just like you see, the small child has influence over the parent. You know? So it's just like that. So because of his relationship with the Lord and the Lord's associates, therefore all others then are attracted to them and under their control. So the control is not by managerial control, which is generally how we would take it as the default setting. It means by relationship, by qualities. Does that make sense? Yeah. Vritti. Next, the author discusses the third characteristic of pure devotional service. It automatically puts one in transcendental pleasure. 1130. Bhakti bestows happiness. There are three types of happiness. From material things, from Brahman realization, and from the Lord. Right? So there's the material, the spiritual, and the transcendental. Srila Prabhupada. Srila Rupa Goswami has analyzed the different sources of happiness. He has divided happiness into three categories, which are, 1, happiness derived from material enjoyment. 2, happiness derived by identifying oneself with the Supreme Brahman. And 3, happiness derived from Krishna consciousness. 1131. Thus it is said in a tantra, astounding mystic powers, material enjoyment, eternal happiness in the realization of Brahman, and eternal bliss from service to the Lord all appear from bhakti to Govinda. So all these levels are gained from devotion to Krishna. Footnote 24. A person who accepts the path of devotional service is not bereft of the results derived from studying the Vedas, performing sacrifices, undergoing austerities, giving charity, or pursuing philosophical and fruitive activities. Simply by performing devotional service, he attains all these, and at the end, he reaches the supreme eternal abode. Bhagavad Gita 8:24-28. Srila Prabhupada. In the Tantra Shastra, Lord Shiva speaks to his wife Sati in this way. My dear wife, a person who has surrendered himself to the lotus feet of Govinda and who has thus developed pure Krishna consciousness can be very easily awarded all the perfections desired by the impersonalists. And beyond this, he can enjoy the happiness achieved by the pure devotees. So if you can gain what someone gains through liberation, you can gain what's before that.
Yes.
Right? Like that. Because it's, we see more people endeavoring for material facility. Why? Because it's easier. Less are endeavoring for liberation because that's harder. So the point is Krishna consciousness, you already get the benefits of liberation. So that means it already includes what's below that. And you get what's beyond that, what is Krishna consciousness. So, happiness derived from pure devotional service is the highest because it is eternal. The happiness derived from material perfection or understanding oneself to be Brahman is inferior because it is temporary. So that's the difference. If you have material perfection, is you're understanding your non-difference from Brahman. And so that's inferior. Now you have spiritual perfection, which means you understand you're on the spiritual platform, but you're a servant of Krishna. So generally one we call liberation, the other we call Brahma-Bhuta. But the word perfection means this position. Right? Generally we don't call it perfection below this, we don't call it perfection above this. Prema is not called perfection. Does that make sense? So when it talks about the devotee attains perfection, means he comes to that transcendental position, where he is situated on the platform of service to Krishna, right? So he's in the platform of bhava. That's perfection. Then within that, there's further and further perfections. Right? So then you'll have sarup, then you have sarup siddhi, or that's perfection, then you have vastu siddhi. Right? But once you come to prema, they don't call it siddhi anymore. So, yeah. There is no preventing one's falling down from material happiness, and there is even every chance of falling down from the spiritual happiness derived out of identifying oneself with the impersonal Brahman. Right? So that spiritual platform, it can either be connected to transcendence, so therefore we'll generally always call it transcendental, or it can be connected with the material, and then we'll call it liberation. You know, it'll just be moksha of the four purusharthas. Does that make sense? So there's an overlap there. So on the spiritual, you have that overlap that way. So you have the jnanis on one and the sadhakas on the other, and they're situated the same platform. Right? So that makes sense. It has been seen that great Mayavadi, impersonalist sannyasis, very highly educated and almost realized souls, may sometimes take to political activities or to social welfare activities. The reason is that they actually do not derive any ultimate transcendental happiness in the impersonal understanding, and therefore must come down to the material platform to take to such mundane affairs. There are many instances, especially in India, where these Mayavadi sannyasis descend to the material platform again. Right, so we had, I think it was back in the 80s. Means the Kamakoti Pitam, Shankaracharya, that before was Chandrasekhar. And then he had his junior. He was at that time the junior. Now I think he's the senior. So at one point he disappeared for 3 weeks. And so you had, rumors going around that the guy blooped, right? The guy just didn't make it. Then after 3 weeks, he resurfaces, and now he's starting up this big initiative about this big kind of some variety, I don't know what it was, of some kind of social, public welfare program. I don't know what it was. It was education or food, or it was some big endeavor. So most likely he couldn't handle the impersonal aspect. He needed to get into something mundane. So instead of leaving, then the mutt said they would support him in going after these other things. Because then they get a good name, they're doing all these nice social things. So in that way, for them, it's, how you say? Raddeka Kolabecha, right? But the point is like Prabhupada says, many instances that they're on this level and they fall down that because there's no taste on just liberation for the soul. It really has no taste. They call Brahmananda, but like how long can you enjoy Brahmananda? Does that make sense? It's just like we said, let's say like now, it's really hot. Then you go into a room that's air conditioned. Right? So for 5 minutes, it's ananda.
Ten minutes.
But after 10 minutes, it's just ordinary. Or it's getting cold. And now you have to put something on, then you have to go do something else. Does that make sense? Yeah. So that's what happens to them. There's that initial that is fabulous, but they all fall down. And very few actually make it there to actually being liberated. They generally fall before that. Yes.
Sometimes devotees wonder, what's the taste in following Vaidisad and Bhakti? Because it's, anartha nivriti, and it's a struggle.
Yeah, but what about the connection to Krishna? It means Krishna is what's tasty. Mm-hmm. So they're involved in things connected to Krishna. So the more they see it connected to Krishna, the more taste they'll get. But the point is we become used to it, so it doesn't seem as much taste. But the point is when you initially came, there's more taste than there was when you initially came. And that was that initial taste was so great compared to anything material. Yeah. Right? So one just has to remember. Isn't that what it says?
Yeah.
Yeah, remember. That's the whole point. So then, remembering the Lord, that's then they're going to know. They know where they're going. That's why you hear about the stories, the Bhagavatam. You hear this about the stories, their interaction with the devotees, their attaining to the transcendental platform, all these different things. You get inspired, right? That's what I was saying before about Sri Guru Dev, right? Is that you're inspired by hearing the instructions, hearing the directions that's relevant to you, all these kind of things. That's the focus. If we get into other things, then not so important. It has to be about how it's Krishna conscious, then one will be inspired. And then when it gets to the point where predominantly everything's removed and you get a taste, in the way of ruchi, because that means it's predominantly taste. There's always a taste, but it's predominantly a taste. Anartha Nivriti means it's a taste and there's other stuff. And then the other stuff never gives you a taste, so therefore you just give that up. So,
if you cultivate Krishna consciousness, normally it is 100% guaranteed that we develop our appreciation
Yes.
And enthusiasm.
Yes.
That's from that.
Yes, yes. Yes. As, Rupa Goswami then in Upadeshamrita gives the term Utsahan. So that means endeavoring with intelligence. Mm-hmm. And so then you're inspired.
So if we are not inspired, means we do not think about something.
We're not. There's a good chance that we're not inspired, we're not thinking about it. Because if you in any way contemplate Krishna, connect to Krishna, it's always going to be inspiring.
Yes.
Like that. We just take it, oh yeah, of course it's Krishna conscious, and then get into something external, something secondary. But the point is if we remember how it's for Krishna, even the secondary, how it's connected to Krishna, how it's pleasing to Krishna, that's the inspiring aspect. The thing itself's not inspiring. Cooking's not inspiring. Cooking for Krishna is what's inspiring. Right? If you have the conditioned nature as a cook, okay, then you may like some things like that. But doing it for Krishna, that's the actual point. Does that make sense? So then the inspiration is how to cook nicely for Krishna. Right? Not the techniques themselves. It's how those techniques can be used to please Krishna. That's what's inspiring.
Well, it seems that the system of manana is very crucial. It's very important.
It's very crucial, yes. Manana is very crucial. Because otherwise, how do you get realization? Because realization means you value it. Then you're going to do it. Whatever you value is what you do. Right? Because we've done plenty of Shravana, Manana, and Nididhyasana on the material platform. Therefore, we have many material values. Right? So therefore, we spontaneously perform those endeavors to fulfill those values. But we have to use the intelligence to do that for Krishna consciousness. Right? Because we're using the intelligence also on the material platform. We have some values and we use it how to apply it into our situation. So the intelligence is always to be used. So, but a person who is fully in Krishna consciousness will never return to any sort of material platform, however alluring and attracting they may be. He always knows that no material welfare activities can compare to the spiritual activity of Krishna consciousness. It may seem very nice, but they'll never compare to Krishna consciousness. Because Krishna consciousness is pleasing to Krishna. You please Krishna, that pleases all living entities. The mystic is, yeah. The point is, you get into these things, you'll always go down from there, because it's what is, you know, in therefore the particular idyllic aspect of what that welfare work does, but then you have to manage that welfare. You have to work with others in that welfare. You have to work with the people that you're welfaring, you know, and all those kind of things like that. And then you'll find that it starts to fall apart.
Yes.
It's not as ideal as you thought. Yes.
Yes. Same point. Saint Shankaracharya actually was meant about 1600 crores by the former chief minister Jayalalitha.
Oh.
And then he spent it. And so she couldn't take it. So when she came back as the chief minister, she put him in jail.
Oh. Oh, he spent it on that welfare stuff.
Spent it on the welfare stuff.
Oh, okay. Yes, okay. So he ended up in jail. Not only did he welfare, but he ended up in jail. Right?
Why?
The chief minister, that Tamil Nadu. Tamil Nadu had lent
1600
crores. That's a serious amount of money.
Billion.
Huh?
Billion. 16 billion.
In billions.
16 billion rupees.
16 billion rupees. 16 billion rupees. To that guy. Probably with the idea he was supposed to do something with it. He was supposed to keep it because he being a sadhu, they're not going to bother them. And so then she was having some problems. She was out of power, out of position, out of favor. So when she comes back, then she'll get the money back and then she'll have the money. So then he came up with a bright idea and he spent that for that welfare program that we talked about before. Right? So then when she did come back into power, because maybe they thought she won't come back into power, but, you know, generally these Tamil ladies are tough, so she came back into power. Yeah, what is it? In other words, don't mess with Jayalalitha. Right? And so then, you can just take the first part of the name, Jaya, you know, as an indication. Right? And so then she came back into power, asked him for the money back. He didn't have it. He'd already spent it on all that welfare stuff, so then she put him in jail. So that's what happens on this. You know, when you fall, it just keeps going. So that's the thing. With the non-devotees, they can't maintain. They'll always be going down. Even they come to a nice level, they'll always fall down. Because it's dharma, artha, kama, moksha. Then they'll come back down to dharma. Then they'll go into artha and like this. It just keeps going around. The mystic perfections achieved by actually successful yogis are 8 in number, actually successful. Right? Anima siddhi refers to the power by which one can become so small that he can enter into a stone. That's small. Modern scientific improvements also enable us to enter into stone because they provide for excavating so many subways, penetrating the hills, etc. Right? So they're getting it by mechanical methods. You don't have to get so small to get in there, right? So, anima siddhi, the mystic perfection of trying to enter into stone, has also been achieved by material science. Similarly, all of the yoga siddhis or perfections are material arts. For example, in one yoga siddhi, there is development of the power to become so light that one can float in the air or on the water. That is also being performed by modern scientists. They are flying in the air, they are floating on the surface of the water, and they are traveling under the water. So the perfection is already there. So that's probably why modern society is so happy with their technologies. They're attaining all the mystic perfections.
Without qualification.
Without qualification, yes. That's even better. You're not qualified and you get it. It has more taste than if you're qualified and you get it. Oh, of course. It's not coming cheap. It's just, yeah. After comparing all these mystic yoga siddhis to materialistic perfections, we find that the materialistic sciences try for the same perfections. So actually, there is no difference between mystic perfection and the materialistic perfections. A German scholar once said that the so-called yoga perfections had already been achieved by the modern scientists, and so he was not concerned with them. He intelligently went to India to learn how he could understand his eternal relationship with the Supreme Lord by means of bhakti yoga, devotional service. Of course, in the categories of mystic perfection, there are certain processes which the material sciences have not yet been able to develop. For instance, a mystic yogi can enter into the sun planet simply by using the rays of the sunshine. So they haven't figured that one out yet. Right? This perfection is called lagima. Similarly, a yogi can touch the moon with his finger. Though the modern astronauts go to the moon with the help of spaceships, they undergo many difficulties, whereas a person with mystic perfection can extend his hand and touch the moon with his finger. This city is called prapti, or acquisition. With this prapti city, not only can the perfect mystic yogi touch the moon planet, he can extend his hand anywhere and take anything he likes. He may be sitting thousands of miles away from a certain place, and if he likes, he can take a fruit from a garden there. This is prapti siddhi, right? So you can see here the standard, the simplicity of the braja. You know, you want something, you go to the kalpa vriksha tree, you can get anything, they just ask for fruit. Right? Does that make sense? Well, we are thinking, we're sitting here, we reach our hand, and from the main office in Paris, then we take that particular Louis Vuitton bag that we want. Right? So that's the motive of passion and ignorance, then come up with those ones.
We can feel it with the folks.
Sorry?
We can feel it with the folks. The bag, we can feel it with the folks.
Oh, I see, yeah. And then pick up some fruits on the way back. You know?
There are some yogis who give some gold like that. One of the yogi, he gave gold, and then when he saw it, it's from one shop.
just one particular shop, yeah. The problem is that you take that, it's not free. You have to pay for it. So since you took it without, you're stealing, so therefore then that way you lose the potency. Yeah. So that's the problem. So you have these material potencies, but if you use them materially, they burn up, so... The modern scientists have manufactured nuclear weapons with which they can destroy an insignificant part of this planet. But by the yoga city known as Ishta, one can create and destroy an entire planet simply at will. Another perfection is called Vashita, and by this perfection one can bring anyone under his control. This is a kind of hypnotism which is almost irresistible. Sometimes I found that a yogi who may have attained a little perfection in this vashita, mystic power, comes out among the people and speaks all sorts of nonsense, controls their minds, exploits them, takes their money, and then goes away. Right? Yes, so that's very standard. There's another mystic perfection which is known as prakamya, magic. By this prakamya power, one can achieve anything he likes. For example, one can make water enter into his eye and then come out from within the eye. Simply by his will, he can perform such wonderful activities. The highest perfection of mystic power is called kamavasayita. This is also magic, but whereas the prakamya power acts to create wonderful effects within the scope of nature, kamavasayita permits one to contradict nature. In other words, to do the impossible. Of course, one can derive great amounts of temporary happiness by achieving such mystic material perfections. Foolishly, people who are enamored of the glitter of modern materialistic advancement are thinking that the Krishna consciousness movement is for less intelligent men, right? Because they've attained so much through their intelligence, therefore if you're not interested in that, you must be less intelligent. Quote, I am better off being busy with my material comforts, maintaining a nice apartment, family, and sex life, end quote. These people do not know that at any moment they can be kicked out of their material situation due to ignorance. They do not know that real life is eternal. The temporary comforts of the body are not the goal of life. And it is due only to darkest ignorance that people become enamored of the glimmering advancement of material comforts. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur has therefore said that the advancement of material knowledge renders a person more foolish, because it causes one to forget his real identity by its glimmer, right? So that's, in the Vedic, that's what it's calling about intelligence or non-intelligence, is about what is, if you're identifying yourself as servant of Krishna, seeing things in relationship to Krishna. That's how it's defined. It's not defined by how much, you know, how much gray matter or how much you can use the gray matter within your skull. That's not what it's talking about. Because that's why you see scholars are not necessarily always seen in a great light. You know, or let's say great administrators or very rich men or, you know, amazing artists who are the best, and we would call them very intelligent. But in the Vedic, it's that if they don't know how that connects to the Lord, that's not intelligent. Because they're not these things. Next life, it'll be gone. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur has therefore said that the advancement of material knowledge renders a person more foolish, because it causes one to forget his real identity by its glimmer. But it's not the thing itself, it's the glimmer of the thing. And why does the thing have glimmer? That's Krishna's potency. So, yeah. This is doom for him, because this human form of life is meant for getting out of material contamination. By the advancement of material knowledge, people are becoming more and more entangled in material existence. They have no hope of being liberated from this catastrophe. Right? So only through Krishna consciousness can they get out. Otherwise, by the modes, they're just going to go down whatever path the modes offer them. 1.1.32. Thus it also says in Hari Bhakti Shudodoy, O Lord of the Devatas, I again pray to you that I may have firm devotion to you. That bhakti is a creeper which bee bestows. Which bestows artha, dharma, kama, and moksha. And also the happiness of realization of the Lord. Srila Prabhupada. In the Hari Bhakti Shudodaya stated that Prahlad Maharaj, a great devotee of the Lord, prayed to Nrisingadev, the half-lion, half-man incarnation, as follows. My dear Lord, I repeatedly pray unto your lotus feet that I may simply be stronger in devotional service. I simply pray that my Krishna consciousness may be more strong and steady, because happiness derived out of Krishna consciousness may be, and devotional service is so powerful that with it one can have all other perfections of religiousness, economic development, sense gratification, and even the attainment of liberation from material existence. So he just wants to develop in Krishna consciousness. Does that make sense? That's all he wants to do. By developing in Krishna consciousness, then he will be nicely situated, and anything else will already be obtained. Like that. You know, it's just whatever is useful in the service, that will be there. What's not, won't be. We may say, oh, all these things are useful, but that's our idea of it's useful. Whether it will be or not is another thing. And it may be, yes, it's useful. Yudhishthira Maharaj was using quite a few things in Krishna's service, but whether we would be able to do that, that's another thing. Right? So the point is that if you have devotion to Krishna, everything else is obtained. Right? All purity is there, and then we see is that also all auspiciousness is there. Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur. I pray that I may have bhakti, the creeper which gives the four fruits of endeavor culminating liberation, and which also gives the bliss of realization of the Lord. Shukada, which consequently makes liberation insignificant. Footnote 25. The happiness the bhakti gives will manifest in all three stages, sadhana, bhava, and prema, but with increasing intensity, with increasing realization of the Lord. Right, so in sadhana, then there's going to be happiness. But when you get to bhava, it'll be more. When you get to prema, more than that. Moksha lagu takrit. Manag eva parudhayam hridaye bhagavad ratao. Purushartas tu chatvaras. Trina yante samantata. Bhakti causes total disregard for liberation. When even a little attraction for the Lord grows in the heart, the four objects of human attainment, artha, dharma, kama, and moksha, become like grass, shameful to appear before bhakti. Right? In other words, that's all. It doesn't have any more value than that. Just some grass. So it says it's not, because in the material world we think it's something very great. But on the devotional platform, it's just some grass. Okay. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Different perspective.
Yeah, different perspective. Like that. Just like, you know, like you say, you know, just how you say, all these things are just like straw in the street. There's no meaning to it. And our humility also is like that. We have that mood, and so therefore, nothing in this material world is impressive. Srila Prabhupada. Actually, a pure devotee does not aspire after any of these perfections, because the happiness derived from devotional service in Krishna consciousness is so transcendental and so unlimited that no other happiness can compare to it. It's said that even one drop of happiness in Krishna consciousness stands beyond comparison with an ocean of happiness derived from any other activity. Right? Because you see, it's a drop of Krishna consciousness, no other activity. And so it means the happiness of liberation doesn't even compare to a fraction of a portion of one drop. Right? And then material doesn't even compare to that at all. It means that's like an ocean on the material platform, and the material is like a drop. Does that make sense? It just keeps getting smaller and smaller drops. Thus, any person who has developed even a little quantity of pure devotion can very easily kick out all other kinds of happiness derived from religiousness, economic development, sense gratification, and liberation. There was a great devotee of Lord Chaitanya known as Kolavecha Sridhara, who was a very poor man. He was doing a small business selling cups made from the leaves of plantain trees. And his income was almost nothing. Still, he was spending 50% of his small income on the worship of the Ganges. And with the other 50%, he was somehow living. Lord Chaitanya once revealed himself to this confidential devotee, Kolavecha Sridhar, and offered him any opulence he liked. But Sridhar informed the Lord that he did not want any material opulence. He was quite happy in his present position, and wanted only to gain unflinching faith and devotion unto the lotus feet of Lord Chaitanya. That is the position of pure devotees. They can be engaged 24 hours each day in devotional service. They do not want anything else, not even the happiness of liberation or becoming one with the Supreme. 1134. Thus Narada Pancharatra says, All the cities headed by liberation and all astonishing material pleasures follow after the great goddess called Hari Bhakti, like fearful maidservants. Srila Prabhupada. In a Narada Pancharatra is said that any person who has developed even a small amount of devotional service doesn't care a fig for any type of happiness derived from religiousness, economic development, sense gratification, or the five kinds of liberation. Any kind of happiness derived from religiousness, economic development, liberation, or sense gratification cannot even dare to enter into the heart of a pure devotee. It is stated that as the personal assistants and maidservants of a queen follow the queen with all respect and obeisances, similarly the joys of religiousness, economic development, sense gratification, and liberation follow the devotional service of the Lord. In other words, a pure devotee does not lack any kind of happiness derived from any source. He does not want anything but service to Krishna. But even if he should have another desire, the Lord fulfills this without the devotee's asking. Riti. Next, the author explains the fourth characteristic of devotional service. Sudurlabha. It is rarely achieved. Right? So now it's the topmost happiness. Now it's very rarely achieved. 1135. Bhakti is rarely attained. Bhakti is difficult to attain in two ways. If undertaken with great quantity, but without attachment, bhakti cannot be attained even after a long time. And even if practiced with attachment, Krishna does not give bhakti to the practitioner immediately. Srila Prabhupada. In the preliminary phase of spiritual life, there are different kinds of austerities, penances, and similar processes for attaining self-realization. However, even if an executor of these processes is without any material desire, he still cannot achieve devotional service. And aspiring by oneself alone to achieve devotional service is also not very hopeful, because Krishna does not agree to award devotional service to merely anyone. Krishna can easily offer a person material happiness or even liberation, but he does not agree very easily to award a person engagement in his devotional service. Devotional service can, in fact, be attained only through the mercy of a pure devotee. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila 19.151, it is said, By the mercy of the spiritual master, who is a pure devotee, and by the mercy of Krishna, one can achieve the platform of devotional service. There is no other way. End quote. So if you try to take up the process, but don't have that connection, then it's not going to work. So it's not the austerities, the penances, all these different things that are making it. It's the doing it to please Krishna. That's what actually makes it dynamic. Srila Jiva Goswami. The words asange pi, even with attachment, should be added to the words harina chashvadeya. Bhakti is not given quickly by the Lord. Otherwise, the words dvidha sudurlabha, two ways of being rarely attained, would be meaningless. When the second line of the verse states that the Lord does not give bhakti quickly, it means that he does not give bhakti quickly even if one practices with attachment. Quote, twofold rarity of bhakti, end quote. Dvidha sudurlabha means difficult to attain in two ways. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. By doing all practices through all stages, starting with Shraddha, but without attaining Asakti, Bhava Bhakti cannot be attained. That is because it is stated that Rati, or Bhava, appears only after Asakti. However, even with all Sadhana and Asakti, the Lord does not quickly give Bhava Bhakti. He does give Bhava, but after delay. In this way, Bhava Bhakti is difficult to attain in two ways. 1136. Yatra adhya yata tantre. Jnanata sulabha muktir bhuktir yagyari punyata. Sayam sadhana sahasrair hari bhakti sudurlabha. The first type of rarity, by practice without attachment, is illustrated in one of the tantras. Liberation is easily attained by jnana, and material enjoyment is easily attained by punya, such as sacrifice. after attaining dedication to those goals by thousands of attempts. Easy to achieve after thousands of attempts. However, bhava bhakti to the Lord cannot be attained if one practices thousands of different sadhanas, because the shakti will not appear. Srila Prabhupada. The rarity of devotional service is also confirmed in the Tantra Shastra, where Lord Shiva says to Sati, "My dear Sati, one is a very fine philosopher. Analyzing the different processes of knowledge, he can achieve liberation from the material entanglement. By performance of the ritualistic sacrifices recommended in the Vedas, one can be elevated to the platform of pious activities and thereby enjoy the material comforts of life to the fullest extent. But all such endeavors can hardly offer anyone devotional service to the Lord, not even if one tries for it by such processes for many thousands of births." Right, so these religious processes on their own, not connected to devotional service, will never give devotional service, even if you do it for thousands of lifetimes. Because bhakti is another category. Right? In Srimad Bhagavatam 7.5.32, it is also confirmed by Prahlad Maharaj that merely by personal efforts or by the instructions of higher authorities, one cannot attain to the stage of devotional service. One must become blessed by the dust of the lotus feet of a pure devotee, who is completely free from the contamination of material desires. Right? So higher authorities on the material platform, even if you're instructed, it still won't give you devotional service. You have to surrender to devotees that are coming in the parampara. That chit potency, that's what will make it work. Right? So you have the right attitude, you're receiving from proper source, then the process works. Srila Jiva Goswami. This is the opinion of a tantra. It should be said, however, that even jnana and performance of sacrifice must be done with great attention to those goals. For without attachment, a person cannot attain either liberation or nor material enjoyment. Therefore, the statement that liberation and material enjoyment are easily attained should actually mean, quote, with attainment of attachment or dedication, the goals become easily attained, end quote. This dedication or attachment can be attained only after thousands of attempts. Sadhana sahasrayi. Such an interpretation is necessary in order to avoid a contradiction in the meaning of the verse. The phrase sadhana sahasrayi becomes meaningless otherwise. Attaining being easy and achieved after thousands of attempts is contradictory. Right? Can't say it's easy and then after a thousand attempts it's not. Or to say it's hard and then... It is understood that if attachment means, quote, one pointed concentration on that process alone, end quote, then such exclusive concentration on the process of jnana or karma is not easily attained in those processes, but only after thousands of practices. Right, so to become that focused, even on the material platform, you have to, it's thousands of practices. Right, that's how it's going to work. So in other words, it's these things are difficult. In confirmation, the Gita says, klesho dikarantas tesham avyakta shakta chetasam. There is excessive difficulty for those concentrating on liberation. Bhagavad Gita 12.5. Bhagavatam says, shudrasha bhuri karmano balisha vridha maninaha. Indeed, they were full of petty desires and entangled in elaborate rituals. And though presuming themselves advanced in Vedic learning, the Brahmas were actually inexperienced fools. Srimad Bhagavatam 10.23.9. Therefore, it is said that these two processes, jnana and karma, not only require concentrated effort, but great expertise as well. That is, they must be properly done. Moreover, that skill in performance must include the execution of bhakti yoga, as the following verse shows. O Almighty Lord, in the past, many yogis in this world achieved the platform of devotional service by offering all their endeavors unto you and faithfully carrying out their prescribed duties. Through such devotional service, perfected by the process of hearing and chanting about you, they came to understand you, O Infallible One, and could easily surrender to you and achieve your supreme abode. Srimad Bhagavatam 10.14.5. Devotional service to the lotus feet, to the, his lotus feet, is the root cause of all perfections a person can find in heaven, in liberation, in the subterranean regions, and on earth. Srimad Bhagavatam 10.81.19. But so, you have to be concentrated on the material platform, you have to be concentrated, and you have to practice it thousands of times. Right? And not only that, you actually have to be executing bhakti along with it. There must be that attachment. There must be that devotion. Right? But it says, not means it'll be a key there, is when it says it's not difficult. If there's attachment, then, what was it? With attainment of attachment or dedication, the goals become easily attained.
Is there a difference between devotion and love?
Devotion and?
Love. Is there a difference between
love? Love. Depends on how you're defining love. Meaning prema, that's one thing, means then that prema includes devotion. But devotion doesn't necessarily include prema. Like that. In other words, the process of that focus, that exclusive focus, and that attachment, that's what makes things work. But on the material platform, since it's not about Krishna, it's not called bhakti. But they still have to use bhakti to make it work. But bhakti means is that one pointed attention is focused on Krishna. And you're endeavoring to please Krishna. Then it's called bhakti. So they're using the same thing. So that attachment goes very quickly because when you're attached, you don't notice the time. Right? But it also is mentioned once one attains attachment. So that means one has to have that focus, and that's what takes thousands and thousands of times. Then one develops that attachment, then it goes quicker. But the whole point will be is that all that endeavor that we're putting in to that, since it's going to take thousands of times, why not do that in connection with Krishna? Does that make sense? That's the whole point. Persons who hear Srimad Bhagavatam regularly and are always taking the matter very seriously will have the personality of Godhead Sri Krishna manifested in their hearts within a short time. Oh, we skipped it. Yes, we did. Now the second part of verse 36 is explained. Hari Bhakti in this verse refers to the stage of Rati or Bhava Bhakti, the goal of Sadhana Bhakti. Just as Bhakti refers to Bhava Bhakti in the following statement, Bhaktya Sanja Taya Bhaktya, by Bhava Bhakti produced from Sadhana Bhakti. Srimad Bhagavatam 11.3.31. Moreover, the word sadhana in this verse should mean only sadhana in relation to the Lord, not other processes. Right? Because you apply the sadhana and all that to other processes, then after thousands of endeavors, you'll get somewhere. Right? Practice means you're doing it every day, right? Because if you do something every day, you start to get somewhere. So thousands of those, I mean, it's even said, I think you become expert in a skill after 10,000 hours of endeavor. You know, so that, I can't remember what it is, but if it means it takes years to, you know, if you put in more times in a day, then it comes quicker. You know, if you put less, then it takes a little longer.
Huh?
Yes?
Some say that by sadhana we get to love and then we can achieve prema.
Yes.
Some say that we already performing some kind of rag bhakti because that's our path. Because Baba is present, just in the...
Yeah, but it, yes, but if it's in his covered form, what do we call it? You know, it's just like you have this nice gold ring covered with mud. What do we call it?
Muddy ring?
Yeah, we don't call it a nice gold ring. Does that make sense? So, the point is that as it was mentioned... that prema is the complete expression of that affection for Krishna. Bhava being the bud of it is counted within the topics of prema, but it's the smallest unit of prema. So it's not the full, it's the smallest unit. And so that smallest unit can't be divided. It doesn't have subsections. The bridge is not wide enough. Said the bridge is not wide enough? The bridge is not wide enough still? No? You want to be able to like roll across it sideways? No? Okay. Anyway.
It's autopilot.
Yeah. Yeah, even has to move. Before you could just go on the side, you know. Now he has to go through, struggle through the bamboos because it's moved over, right? So then, bhava, that point, then that's where it starts, and that develops till it attains prema. Now, bhava, fractions of that, then are applying from shraddha to asakti. So in that way, yes, you're already employing, but still you can't call it bhava. You know, just like let's say, a meal is rice, right? So, but if I have one grain of rice, do I call it a meal? But is it rice? But it's still not a meal. So in the same way as you have a fraction of that one unit of prema called bhava, it's still not called bhava, because it's a fraction of it. So yes, that whole point, we're following that path, but it's still called by what is the predominant feature, that faith is the predominant feature, or associating with devotees, or you know, taking up serious practicing of the process, or removing the anartas, or being steady in that practice, or now having a taste or attachment. You know what I'm saying? You know, if I have a big pile of rice, I might call that a meal. But if I have one grain of rice, I call it one grain of rice. I don't call it a meal. Does that make sense? Does that make sense? Or if I have a little bit more, I might call it a handful. It's still not a meal. You know, so I call it according to what it is. Does that make sense? So it is bhava that's extending, so we're not dealing with anything else. But the point is it's only that volume of it, so therefore we're only calling it by that name. But in its natural form, but it's still very small. It means in the earlier forms, it's covered, distorted to some degree. But when you get to Ruchi and Asakti, it's in its natural form, but it's very small, and it's not enough to call it bhava. Like that. So yes, it is the same process, but we have to remember it's the acharyas that have given these names and distinctions and levels. They always say, sadhana bhakti will get you to bhava. Bhava bhakti will get you to prema. So that's why it's rare, but it's sometimes bhava is called bhava sadhana. It's not the sadhana, the other, but it's sadhana within itself, as its own sadhana. So, yes?
I think technically it's called Ajata Ruchi Raganuka Sadhana Bhakti.
Okay.
That means, Ajata Ruchi means without taste. You follow that path, but the taste is not developed yet.
So therefore, it's Rag Bhakti, but it's Ajata?
Ruchi.
Ajata Ruchi. Okay. Nice. So yes, you're doing rag bhakti, but without taste. So no rag.
It sounds good.
Sounds good.
It's rupa, it's fine.
Yeah. No, I'm just saying, it's just because we're following that path, but you have to understand that it's without taste. So that's why they keep mentioning about the taste, the attachment. So here when they're talking about attachment, it means asakti. That will bring you very quickly. So we have to perform the sadhana that will get us to attachment. Right. Otherwise, the materialists, they're attached to what they're doing, so they're quite advanced. You know, so, we, yeah. But they have to spend thousands of lifetimes. We can do it in one life. So. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.